Hey, it's your favorite recording artist, Bria Lornson from Canada, and welcome into the Distillery Podcast with a very special episode we recorded with a live studio audience. So come on in, sit down, relax, grab a drink or four, and welcome into the Distillery.
We're doing some really cool stuff right now on Patreon. When you join, you'll be able to get exclusive content and full video of our podcast live with a studio audience. And that's not only thing you get when you're a Patreon member. You also get exclusive limited edition merch. And we also do pretty cool giveaways. We gave away $1,000 to a Patreon member in November of 2023. And we gave away a big Yeti Tundra cooler. It's really just a fun way to be a part of a community that's connected through music, through Bria Lornson music. So join us now and get all of your cool gifts and your chance to win big on Bria Lornson on Patreon.
Hey guys, how are we today? So, April 19th, and don't mind this in front of me, these are just my notes. April 19th, you know, we finally did it. This show, this idea originated back in September of last year. So what we were doing was we were celebrating my sister's 30th birthday in Toronto. And we were at an Airbnb, and my buddy Tim, who's running our live stream for Patreon right now, we were sitting in the backyard of this Airbnb. We were having a couple wobbly pops, as you do when you're away for a weekend. Don't remember the rest of the weekend, but that's okay. We were sitting down, we were talking about the podcast, the Distillery podcast. So Bria has a podcast called The Distillery. You find it on Spotify, everywhere you go. We were talking a lot about how to improve the podcast, because Tim has a podcast called Bearded and Bored. So we were talking about ways how to improve, and he came up with the idea was, how about we do a live recording of the episode and incorporate it into Bria's show. So we got the idea, and I remember driving home after a weekend of fogginess, and I kept thinking about that idea, and I thought it was such a cool idea. And I reached out to Oakfield Rugby Park. And Bria played here, actually, last summer. And I remember when Bria played here, we came in, we took a look around. It was just such a gorgeous venue, and the staff was so nice. And we thought, if we were going to do a show, why don't we try to do it at Oakfield Rugby Park? So we reached out to Finn, you'll see him in the back there, has been more than helpful with everything, and I think I've probably asked him a million and one questions, I feel like. He was able to answer every single one and was very patient with us. This is the first time we've ever put something together that we've marketed, that we've created ads for, and that we've kind of done everything ourselves. So it was a lot of work, and Finn was there, helped us a lot with ads, kind of what to say, what to do in them. So thank you very much for that, Finn. That's very much appreciative. So we called them. We booked this venue, and you know what? We're finally here. So I'm very, very excited. So how this is basically going to go is, we're going to have Bria coming up here in a few minutes. We're going to talk. We're actually going to be talking about some stuff that we haven't really released out to anybody. So kind of the first time we've told some of these things to such an intimate crowd here, which is great. And then we're going to go into some of Bria's singles. And then we're going to get Brad up here, talk a little bit about his recent Nashville trip, some cool things happening over there. And then we'll get started with Bria, or with Brad. He'll be doing a set, and then we'll get Bria to close out the show, and then we're gonna have a merch table set up here for some meet and greets. You guys will all see that we got little posters for everybody with some signatures there. So we're gonna have some more merch and some more time for some photo ops. So without further ado, let's bring up Bria Lornson.
So much for coming. Hi. Hi, guys.
So many people, so many friendly faces in the audience. It's amazing.
Oh, yes. We love you. Thank you for coming. this is our first show.
Yeah.
Together.
Yeah. This is our first
show together.
Together
as a team.
Yeah.
Hi.
And we have so many people that helped us put all this together, which we'll kind of mention throughout the show and at the end and stuff too, because it does take a team to put some of this stuff together. Like, this is a lot of work.
Oh, it takes a little bit of a village.
Didn't even take my nap today. So.
Oh, God. How are you surviving?
I know.
I didn't take mine either. And we have a 2-year-old running around.
We got a lot to cover today. We got a lot to cover. So let's kind of dive into some of the music that you have been kind of writing, and we're going to talk about your single that you're going to be releasing. So we haven't really specified which single that will be but we'll
I'm announcing it here tonight for all of you.
Yeah. So what's some of the music that that you've been working on? And
so I've got some songs. It's funny because the past summer, the last summer has been an amazing summer. I got to open for Shania Twain at the Blues Fest in Ottawa, and there was a 30,000 sold-out crowd, record-breaking audience, because it's Shania. Hello.
She's very short.
She is. She's small. Yeah, she's very petite.
Yeah.
It's been a whirlwind, but always at this time of year, I always start sort of thinking about my new songs and writing new material that I'm going to release for the whole next year. And so I go to Nashville, I pick the 4 or 5 of the best ones that I come up with that I've either written by myself or with others that I think will do well at radio. Sirius XM is the most important one because they air across North America, so even my friends in Nashville can hear me on the radio, which is really cool, if they have Sirius XM, channel 171. Yeah. So make sure, if you have it, and if they call you and they ask for a survey or they ask for any comments, you tell them that's your favorite station.
That's right.
Channel 171, Sirius XM.
That's right.
Pre-fucking Lawrence.
That's right.
Because
it's a PG show.
I'm sorry. Well, no, it's not made for kids.
It's not made for kids.
We have a live stream going on. I'm so happy. You guys all have your posters, and they've got QR codes on them. So you can go to scan the QR code and you go straight to my Beacons link, and the Patreon link is right there. And you can join us on Patreon. It's just an app that you put on your phone, and it's a way to support your favorite creators. We have 70 members already. And so we're kind of putting that hand in hand with the podcast that we're doing.
Yeah.
The podcast, the Patreon list, the Patreon members, they get exclusive access, all the bloopers, exclusive content. We gave $1,000 away in November to one of our Patreon members from Virginia.
Yeah.
She's probably watching right now. Hi, Rachel. And we were in the Dominican when we did that. It was so fun. We did the live stream. And anyways, I kind of get off track a lot. So that's why he's here directing me. new music coming out. I've got 2-3 new songs that I'm working on. Well, I did this series on TikTok called Write a Song in Less Than 3 Minutes. Remember?
Yeah. What song did you write that we wanted to talk about?
So,
these notes don't matter.
Oh, goodness. Well, I was always just going to tell you that. Sometimes the notes, it's its own animal, this whole show. So one of the songs that I'm excited about is The Whiskey Rattle. The Whiskey Rattle.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Now we're back on track.
Yeah. So that's one of the music, but that's not the one you'll be releasing. That's just something you'll be working on.
Yeah, something that I think I'm going to bring to Nashville, and it's like, it goes, Whiskey Rattle from morning till night. Makes me not want to work 9 to 5. Some people say it's a problem, but everyone's got them. It's the whiskey rattle from morning till night.
Yes.
I love it.
So can you kind of tell us the story of Whiskey Rattle? How did that kind of come together? How did that become a song?
In the beginning... Well, not in the beginning. A few years ago, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, started getting a lot of support on radio here in the area and across Canada. And one of my biggest Breelievers, we'll call them, he loves to drink whiskey.
Yeah.
And actually, it was my song With You Whiskey that drew him to my music. And that was the song that was getting some, it was my second song, single across Canada. And it was getting some.
And what year was that? Do you remember?
Oh, God, I don't even know. 2015. Yeah, we moved into our one-bedroom apartment on the 21st floor.
650 square feet. Yeah.
He hated it. He hated it.
Small.
I was like, oh, I'm happy. But I'm happy because, like, I do what I love every day. I don't expect more from myself than that. I could live in a kitty box and I'll be fine. I think I was a cat in the last life. Anyway.
Well, let's get back to the song.
And anyway, so we were, you know, things were amping up, and I had my second single to Canadian radio, With You Whiskey, and I was playing a lot of bars, and I met a lot of cool people, and this Breelievers was at one of the bars that I played at in Pakenham, and he's like, I wanna book you for a gig at our house, and we're going to have a big party, and we had the whole band out, we had a big party. And
now, hold on, but
you know,
it was
a private party.
And when that happens, a lot of the times, because we've had that happen numerous times, or a lot of the times you're just like, whatever, sure, here's my email, contact me.
You have
you
a
know.
Late night, and then, yeah, it's, you meet people who've been drinking,
yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, at this point, it was probably like 2 o'clock in the morning when this guy came up to you and was just like, yeah, we want to do a show and private party, and we want to book you. We're just like, okay, man, here's the email.
Here's
and
the,
you know what?
Contact me in the morning.
When you're sober.
And so he did. And we did some private parties. And then I was coming up with an album. I was writing a whole album. It was my first album that I have ever recorded fully in Nashville. Some of the songs were done in Canada. But most of the songs were done in Nashville. And this was a big deal for me. And I was getting support here. So I wanted to do a big CD release party at the Algonquin College, mm-hmm. which some of my friends here were
yep,
there.
Yep, some of you guys were there.
For that. Yeah. And I got a beautiful bouquet of flowers from Jenny Lee, as I always do. Love you, Jenny Lee. And made me feel very special. And so anyways, we contacted him. We're like, listen, we want to do like a show, but, you know, we need some kind of investment. And he said, he called me.
Hold on a sec, but what time did you send that email?
Because okay,
remember,
so
it was like Saturday night.
We were sitting in our apartment,
yeah.
And I sent it probably around 8 at night.
Okay.
And he calls me as soon as I send it, and he's like, listen, how much do you want? I'm like,
in retrospect, we should have said a lot more.
I'm like, I think it's going to be X amount. He's like, all right, done. In cash, as long as you get your ass over here tonight, and we're drinking, and we're gonna have a party, and you're gonna tell me all your plans and what you're doing with it. I'm like, shit, babe, we're going.
Yeah, we did. We got out of our pajamas, we changed into some jeans, you know, and drove out to this area.
Yeah,
it was around here. Clayton. He lives in Clayton,
and we had a great time, and literally gave us the money in cash and. Really just wanted to be a part of it, just as an angel investor.
Yeah.
He didn't want any of it back. We tried to, and that's the crazy, it's the thing that a lot of people don't think about when they're thinking about artists and like how much teamwork it takes, but also money, like promoting and investing in yourself over and over and over and over again. That's basically just what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You need a capital mm-hmm. to start with to do anything. It's like a small business.
Yeah.
So, and he was just wonderful. So anyway, he came up with this because his favorite thing to drink is whiskey.
Whiskey and water.
Whiskey and water.
Yeah. He loves it. I don't know how he drinks
whiskey
it.
With water with ice.
Yeah.
And
he keeps himself hydrated and drunk at the same time. It's actually smart. Yeah.
And so he said, Bree. We were at one of his parties, and we were like, Yeah, I'm like, yeah. Even the radio program director for the station was there. Like we just had everyone in the same spot at one party, and he was like, "I want you to write a song called The Whiskey Rattle." I'm like, ooh.
Because he had this, like, when he got drinking, he had like a very.
Like a rattle.
Yeah, like a big rattle in his voice. And it was just, yeah.
And he's like, "I love your song With You Whiskey. I think this is a good title." And I'm like, yes, it is. Anyways, I had it in the back of my songwriting book forever and ever. And then this summer, I started a series on TikTok called Write a Song in Less Than 3 Minutes. Write a song with me in less than 3 minutes.
Could you explain, like, what is that? What was that exactly?
So I would be like, "Hey, my name is Bree Lawrenson, your favorite recording artist from Canada. And this is my new series, Let's Write a Song in 3 Minutes." And then I would just basically say, kind of like really short, the story. Like, "I want to write a song that's called this because of this." And then so you just get right into it. But you're like, it takes a lot of editing. And, you know, it's not exactly 3 minutes that you write it in. But you make it look like it is, right? So I just started. I'm like, okay. I think this song has to be like a brain, like an earworm. The Whiskey Rattle. An earworm that stays in your head forever and ever. And it's like, you know, that song. Oh, one bottle on the wall and two fall down. And, you know,
it's
like
99 bottles.
I'm sorry. It just came into my head.
You start at 99.
They're like literally, before we started the show, they're like literally telling me what to say, like word for word. I'm like, I don't do that. I don't do that. Yeah. I mean, guys.
Fire my publicist.
You can mess me up if you make me do that. Anyway, so I came up with this like melody, just like a three chord. Like I'm the three chord girl. Three chords in the truth. And it was, you know, "Whiskey rattle from morning to night. Makes me not want to work 9 to 5. Some people say it's a problem, but everyone's got them. It's the whiskey rattle from morning." Right. So I think it's an earworm. He wakes up with it in his head.
Did I tell you, like, on my way to work?
Yeah.
It's all I can. So on the next day after Bree shows me this song, my way to work, I just couldn't get it out of my head. I feel like I was dancing, going in, like singing "The Whiskey Rattle" as I'm walking into my office. You know, like, I couldn't get this thing
like
out of my
head.
He's
like the most average person when it comes
Thank
to music.
Thank you for that.
I'm so sorry. You're not average. Just in this area. And it's the same with my mom. She's the same.
Yeah.
If I know that they like the song and they can remember the melody afterwards, then I know that it's a good song to release, get done.
So when you say earworm,
yeah,
are you talking like writing a song for radio and then writing a song like for not radio? Could you kind of dive into that a little
bit?
Yeah,
for sure.
That?
That's a great question because it's such an animal. Writing for radio is a huge thing, especially, you know, amongst songwriters that are trying to make a name for themselves in Nashville or anywhere. So writing for radio, I knew it has to be. So I took a publishing. I went to Nashville, and it was all held at the Bluebird Cafe. I don't know if anyone's heard of the Bluebird. You guys have been there.
Yeah. Bree sang there.
I got to sing there. But I also got picked to be a part of a publisher's workshop for big publishers. And it was across, like, they only picked, I think, 7 across North America, 7 songwriters, and I was one of them. And I remember one of the publishers saying, so basically we got to go there and sit. They fed us, whatever. They gave us a workshop on how to write songs, writing songs for radio, writing songs that are going to make you money and be able to do this for a living. So he was like, "You know what? If you can write a song that makes the busiest person say, and for example, let's say it's a 30-some-year-old mom that has 3 children screaming in the back in a van, and she's like, wait, let me turn this up because she wants to hear it because she likes it. then you know you got a song.
That's a song written for radio.
Yeah. Then you know you got a song that everyone's going to love, that right away the melody is going to stick out. It's easy for them to sing along to. It's not, it also has to be original, which is hard. Because you got, you know, I've got friends in no place. How are you going to write a song like that?
Well, it's Garth Brooks.
But I mean, those are like, that's the kind of song that hits so radio big.
So writing a song for radio is like three chords.
Three chords in the truth, but it doesn't have to be. Yeah. I mean, a lot of country songs are just.
But what I find is in radio, compared to like, if you listen to somebody's full album.
Yes.
As opposed, they'll have like two singles released to radio. Those two singles are easy to kind of.
Unless you're Shania Twain and all the songs go number one.
Well, that's Shania. which we're going to get into Shania. We got some cool news with Shania, which we're going to dive into here in a minute. So you do that, it's easy to remember as opposed to like some of their other songs on the album. They're fantastic songs. But
yes.
They're just so like.
They just don't. Get the
they tell a bigger story, yes. I guess, is what
so
I'm saying.
So they're called album tracks.
Yeah.
That's what the music lovers, they buy the full CD just for the one album track that they love. Like, it's a big oiled machine. The way that singles differentiate from like just normal tracks that weren't written for radio, but they were written in a real way that made them born into a song, and it's from an experience or whatever. There's just so many people that are writing for radio in this business, and because that's how you make any money at it, really, unless you own everything. And
so, speaking of radio, I think we should release what your new song. If you haven't taken the hint by the autographed pieces of the poster that's on your table right now. But the new song that you're releasing, when are you releasing it?
Actually, if it's not already available now, it will be by Monday.
Yeah. So on Monday.
It's called Hater.
Yeah, it's called Hater. And the cool thing is Patreon actually got this song a couple months ago. So with some of the perks from some of the Patreon members is that they get a lot of this stuff, you know, a week early.
Oh, they got, the Patreon members got this like a year early.
Yeah, they got the raw version, like Bree just singing and
and so, phone. And yes, and also some of the stuff we featured, the songs that I wrote in less than 3 minutes on this from this TikTok series or whatever.
So the song you're releasing on Monday is Hater.
Hater, yeah.
Could you give us like a little?
So Hater, I wrote Hater. Like I feel like a lot of the songs that I write kind of just come. And I'm not really, it's inspired of. A lot of songwriters sit down and they do writing 9 to 5, and they do 4 hours here and 4 hours in the afternoon. I'm not really that type of writer. I could be if I made myself, but I just haven't. I'm always just inspired by true things that happen. And that's how I get healing as well. And that's when it means the most. I don't care if it's good enough for radio. I don't care if it's, you know, not going to go anywhere or nobody even likes it. It's something that came out of my mind because of a real event that happened and helped me through. It's kind of like therapy. So Hater was kind of born last summer after I kind of just got to the point in my career where I'm just like, I'm done. I'm done with putting myself on a lower pedestal than others put themselves on. Because I feel like I'm always not good enough. I'm not good enough for this person. I'm not good enough. But that's just me. And, you know, no matter how hard you try, you're trying to achieve something and you have these expectations for yourselves. Everyone else around you can see that it's working, that you're actually accelerating. But you're still you. I'm still just me. And people change in your corner. They were in your corner, and then they kind of change. And I threw into the whole mix of it, the social media thing, and how people are so brave behind their keyboards. And there's just, when I was growing up, there wasn't Yeah. I'm telling you how old
Things
I am right
were
now.
A little easier. Yeah.
There was internet, but there wasn't like hate online.
There wasn't much social media.
There wasn't. There was MSN. MSN is how I learned to do my home row key.
Yeah, like, and with the little dashes on the F.
And yes, yeah. And I'm damn good at it now. Yeah. You know, talking to your friends, that's how I learned. But now, like, it's just like people have access to you all the time. It's just at your fingertips, and they're so they say whatever they want because they don't have to look you in the face when they're saying it. And they will, and even the people that go the extra mile to reach out to people who they know support you and love you and will always be there for you, to diminish what they to basically attack, you know, yourself, like what they think of you online.
So this is about you kind of dealing with those struggles.
Those, and, like the people that want to gossip and pull out and say stuff even. There was a hater, and we call them trolls, right? Trolls on social media. And the people that go as far as to like make fake accounts and say horrible things. It's like, what are you doing? Like, I've never ever wanted to make someone feel badly about themselves. Even if, you know, they were bad to me. But so hater is basically about recognizing those people and the people that start to see you accelerating, and either they get afraid or they get completely jealous, and then they just kind of attack. Right? So they don't know what else to do.
Could you give us a little snippet of hater?
Yeah.
And you're going to be playing this.
I'll play it in the set. Okay. Yeah. I love the way that they did it in Nashville. It doesn't do it justice for me to sing it, but
don't want to give you like
on
a,
my own.
A beat or anything?
You're going to beatbox? Yeah. No, you don't know the count.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
You don't know the count.
Wow, I was going
to.
Yeah.
I have to get Brad out here for the count.
Well, yeah. I'll meet up with him and then we'll get it.
Hater, manipulator in disguise. You look like a friend, you fool me again, and then I realize you're a troll, not a trend, unfollow, unfriend. I'll never think about you later, hater.
Nice.
That's the chorus.
That's
there.
Awesome. Okay.
Thank you, guys.
All right. So you'll be playing that. You haven't played that one live before. There's
not
a couple
really.
Other songs I think you haven't played live that you'll be playing tonight.
I'll play Love and Hate.
Yeah.
And so there's another song called I Wish I Wrote a Song Like That.
Oh, that's, yeah. Do a little bit of that. We'll just
I wish I wrote a song like that. A song that brings your heart right back to a time when falling never felt so free. Little Brian Adams and some Tom Petty. I wish I wrote a song like that. I'm still working on that.
Nice.
One.
It's awesome, though.
I think I want to bring it to Nashville, though.
So, speaking of writing songs, speaking of Shania Twain, is there something you want to share?
Well, a little tidbit.
A little tidbit into Bree's life.
So the cool thing about this Shania...
It was pretty fucking cool.
Oh, it was all cool. The whole thing. Even though I didn't get to meet her. But I stood at the place where she ran down the stairs. And she had three bodyguards in front of her and behind her. So I was like, hi. She just like ran. Didn't even... which is totally understandable.
Well, yeah.
And so anyway, after I did my set that day, I got off this, while I was coming off the stage, there was this guy that was like standing right there that I didn't see before, but I saw him come out while I was on stage. I saw him come out from the front of the audience, and I knew that he was important because he had like a pass on it, like on his neck. And he was like, he waved at me like this, and I was like, okay, it was right after I sang Life is the Highway, right in at near the end. And he waited for me as soon as I was like off the stage, coming off the stage. And he was like, I'm sorry, but I just need to get your info. Like you're amazing.
And who was this person?
His name's Michael, Paul Michael. That's the stage name. And he's from Scotland. He's got a beautiful accent. And he was like, I'm here with Shania, like I'm singing
backstage, and I would just love to like keep in touch with you. So yeah, we follow each other on Instagram, and he messaged me, and I messaged him back and forth throughout the few months after that. And then just recently, we've decided to write a song together. So I sent him a song that I have already had studio version recorded, everything. He wrote another verse, and he sent it to Shania Twain's son.
Fucking right. Yeah.
To be That's mastered.
Huge. That's huge.
So.
That's huge.
And we both talked about this, me and him. He's like, I don't have all those followers, like all the followers that you have. I'm a background singer, and I love music, and I take my, I'm like, listen, this is, it doesn't, like, I know that it matters, the followers, blah. But like, in the, like, no, like, you take the opportunities that you're given, and you love what you do, and you just do it. And you're, he's playing in Vegas on Saturday.
With Shania.
Singing. And so he said he was actually going to see if he could get some recording in for that.
So we're going to be best friends with Shania by about next year. So just
and
so
we also
knows.
Talk. We're like, you know, nothing is guaranteed in this business. We all know that. And so, you know, we don't get our hopes up about stuff like that. We just kind of keep going and rolling.
Well,
with
you
it.
Know what? It's the excitement around it. You know,
for sure.
It's the you don't know where it's going to lead. We've met so many people, and we've done so many different things on this journey. And some of the people that we've met. Like, we had dinner once with one of Taylor Swift's, I think, was it publicist or marketist?
Marketing
person. Mm-hmm. Like, just this random person that we met online. We flew out to Nashville. We were there to do some songs, to record some songs, and we ended up
and
having dinner.
Like, he paid for the lunch and everything. He's
yeah.
Like, just have one question. How did you get my contact information? And that's when I first started going to Nashville.
Google. That's pretty like, much what we said. We're like, we Googled, man.
I found a directory.
We emailed a lot of people, and you responded.
You know what the whole thing, though, was behind it? Because it was you that inspired me to do that. Because
you're just welcome.
Like, whenever I send out an email or I reach out to someone and don't hear back, I feel like, ugh, so rejected. And then you're just like, why? Like, they could have a million things on their plate. Send them again. Send it again. And it was like the fourth email that I sent out to the radio program director.
Oh, when you first released your song.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
when
then
you're
it
honey.
All just,
yeah.
And I was crying one day because I'm like, this isn't going to work. And you're like, don't you cry to quit.
Cry
you
to keep
cry
going.
To
That's
keep
right.
going.
That's right. Coach and Carter so, said that in the movie Coach Carter.
Such a good movie. And that's where Last Call Romeo, those lyrics in that song came from. That like
that song's about me, no big deal.
Every time you want to pack it in, you pour me a glass of never giving up. Yeah. Like, you know, there's just that one person that's.
Well, with this, so we're very excited for all this Shania and, you know, see where the next few weeks go. So, yeah, so they're hopefully going to try to get it mastered, I think, this week. So maybe we'll try to get it up on Patreon if we're able to get it in the next couple weeks for everyone to hear it. That's right. We're going to keep things rolling. We're going to get Bradley D. Scott up here he just came back from Nashville, so he's a little tired.
He's a little jet-lagged.
But we're forcing him to come up here, talk about his trip, talk about some upcoming things he's got coming on. So
everyone,
come on up here, Brad.
Yes, give a big hand for Bradley D. Scott. He was the band leader for my big show.
That's right.
And made me feel so comfy up
well,
there.
Well, you guys are going to be playing together tonight, too.
Yes. So I've informed him last week.
Yeah. Oh, indeed.
He found out about 45 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So. We did. Well, what's cool, what's
we did a little
cool,
practice.
What's cool about this, though, is that Brad hasn't really, like some of Bree's new music, Brad doesn't really know it. So you're kind of going to get to see the first time
that we ever played the songs together.
That they ever played the songs together, which is kind of cool, right?
And that,
and
that's
indeed.
Indeed.
That's kind of a toast to you, right? An amazing musician who's able just to kind of pick
you're
things
too
up
kind.
Like that and kind of go with the flow. So, Brad, you just kind of got in here, man.
Yeah.
Bradley, yeah. Love you so much. And, guys, Bradley also has his own Patreon. So make sure you check it out. It's a great way to support your favorite artists, your favorite creators, because this business, there's so much. There's so much, and streaming and everything now, everything has changed. If you love an artist, it's a great way to just give back to them so they can continue
doing their art.
Yeah.
Doing their lives and traveling all over the place like a gypsy like you.
Yeah. I remember, so we had Brad on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and he literally, I think you literally like flew in. You were here for a couple of days. You recorded with us. I think we ended up finishing like midnight. And then you had to leave the next day to go out east for another gig.
Pretty much.
Same with the Shania show.
Same with the Shania, that's right.
Yep. Talk about that a little.
But he was going to play the Calgary Stampede.
The next day.
Which is pretty fucking cool.
Oh, indeed.
From Blues Fest, 30,000 people to the Calgary Stampede, which is huge, right? A testament to how many people want to work with this guy. So we're lucky.
Yes.
We're very, very lucky to have him. So tell us about your Nashville trip, man. What sort of things did you have on the go?
Oh, geez. Well, it was sensory overload, really.
Yeah.
It was a really good time, but that's a lot of music to take in.
Yeah.
You know what I felt when I first started going to Nashville? I felt like there's no way I can do this. There's too much talent here. I don't know how I could stand out.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
But I mean, as artists and as musical people, we're very sensitive and hard on ourselves.
Oh, definitely.
We're not the only ones. There's tons of other ones. And when you said you were going there, I was like, fucking right. You're gonna be gone. He gone.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
like,
thank
you. When am I going to be able to get you again now?
I know.
Why am I talking Southern? I don't know.
That switch all
I swear, it happens.
I was about to put my hand up and ask a question.
It happens.
I don't know how that happened.
It does happen.
I know. I had to keep catching myself.
Yeah, do you start, like, getting the accent when you're there?
As much as I'd like to say no, I did catch myself a few times.
And it's like a thing because you're so in tune with your ear that you just kind of replicate what you hear. It's a natural thing.
Oh, it's bizarre.
And then
I get
embarrassed when I do it. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
I'm not making fun of you, I swear.
The funniest thing was the one thing when they go, oh, real quick, I just want to do this real quick. I'm like, okay, we don't say real quick. But then I noticed myself saying it, like when I got home. But real quick, I just want to mention that. It's like those little things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's funny you say that. I caught myself doing that today. I was texting someone, and there were just expressions coming up in my texts
I
hadn't noticed before. And it's like, where did this come from?
Because you're listening all day.
Yeah.
Conversations and the way that they, their Southern hospitality is wonderful.
Oh,
you can just couch surf if you need to.
Yeah, well, there's such a musical community down there. So, Brad, this was your second trip down to Nashville?
Indeed.
So, your first one, did you do some recordings and stuff? Did you kind of go back to do some recordings? What was...
Well, we were doing mostly tourism stuff just the first trip.
Nice.
Did you tour just kind of the Nashville area, or were you going out into
We did get to kind of go around to some other states. It was all sort of a blur for me because, you know, the first time there, that was a very big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, well, for me. It's your first time there, and you're like, wow, this bit of culture shock.
What show do you remember, like, vividly or specifically from that, your first tour there? What show kind of still resonates with you to this day? And what year did you go down to Nashville for your first trip?
Was it last year? I think it was last year. Yes, it was last year. I don't know. They all start to blend together after a certain point.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think the thing that sticks out in my mind is we went to a little bar. And it was right on the edge of Broadway. We weren't in the heat of the madness. You know, we were just off to the side. And
in the heat of the madness. You're on Second Avenue then.
Yeah, exactly.
a little bit off.
And there was a band playing. And they were playing the song Chattahoochee. Mm-hmm. And it sounded just like the record.
Uh-huh.
And it scared us all to death.
Yeah.
And the cool thing...
Well, that's why I felt like, no, I can't do this. People are too talented here.
Well, like Diamond Dozen,
the
cool
wild
thing, too, is whenever they play bars and stuff, they don't necessarily get paid by the bar, right?
No.
It's a big water jug that just kind of goes around.
It's
and people tip.
Jar.
And people kind of, and tip.
And
so
they just play for tips. And so Brad was just telling us about how, you know, he's witnessed so many musicians wait until they get a certain amount of money in tips to play certain songs. Like,
oh, indeed.
Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They asked for $1,000 for that one.
Exactly. There you go.
And what else? Wagon Wheel?
Yeah. I think that one's banned.
The Favorites?
That one, yeah, that one. I don't think that's allowed anymore.
Overplayed?
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah, never heard of it.
Free Bird,
that's right. I think you always have that one
had
person.
Fulfill that request.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now to come back around this time around, were you doing some recording down there? Or were you just kind of down there doing some sightseeing, whatever?
Just a little bit of sightseeing and meeting some friends down there that I haven't seen in a very long time.
Nice. What would be your dream job down there, Brad?
Oh, pretty much doing what I'm doing here, you know, just playing music. Just
would you be like a session player?
Oh,
and absolutely. Can we get an explanation of what a session player is?
Oh, definitely. I do sessions as well, although with all the traveling, it makes it a little hard just to find the time to sit down and do it properly.
Yeah.
But things have changed considerably as well, because back in the day, you had to actually go to a recording studio to record, and you'd be there on the day with the artist, and you'd record the tracks. And I think the last time I did that, I'm trying to think, it was the 2010s, maybe, is the last time I was actually in a professional studio with a room of people.
Yeah. That's crazy. So you've been doing everything remotely since?
Because it's all been remote. That's it's just the way technology goes, and especially since the pandemic.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, we were even joking in the green room, because in my backpack, I had brought this shirt and my entire recording rig.
He's like, yay, I have a shirt.
Priorities.
I got a shirt in here.
But it's crazy how you can condense what used to be a full room with a console and outboard gear down to a little box this size at a laptop. It's insanity.
And we kind of talked about that when you were on the Distillery podcast a few weeks ago. And you kind of, so when you're doing this, because you're traveling so much, you go from like East Coast, West Coast. You've even done a tour in freaking Mexico, haven't you?
Indeed.
Yeah.
And then where are you going else? You're going somewhere else. He's going somewhere else for a tour.
Probably.
I don't think I'm allowed to say it yet.
Yeah, that happens.
His business is like that.
But it was kind of cool, because he was telling me, you know, in between the touring, like he'll be at his hotel room, it'll be like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, he'll be finishing up a gig, and he'll have to go back to this hotel to lay down this track for a buddy down in Vancouver, and in the meantime, he's in like Nova Scotia, you know, and you have to kind of get everything done that night or, you know, in the next couple of days and kind of send it off.
Oh, I think the operative word there would be to attempt to get everything done.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do it the best you can.
And you were working on an album, right?
I was.
Yeah. And have you kind of shied away from that now a little bit? Kind of focused more on touring and...
I think what happens every year is when slow season kind of comes around and people kind of come off the road for the winter, I always get in my head that I need to put out another record. So I get all my original songs and I start arranging them and I start producing everything and getting it together. And then by the time I'm ready to record, it's touring season again.
Yeah.
So then I'm gone and it's on a hard drive somewhere.
Yeah, and then you're like, gotta go back to that later.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the funny thing, you have to kind of just do what the demand is when it's in demand.
Indeed.
Because when it's the sun shines, you gotta make hay.
I've never heard that before.
Usually festival season is like the busiest for artists and sidemen and musicians. It's... it can be hard.
Have you, and do you have a busy summer done lined up this
year? Oh, indeed. Yeah, it's...
Played the Calgary Stampede last year?
I was going to say, I have...
This guy talks like the Calgary Stampede's like freaking nothing.
Well...
You know, like, it's a huge thing, man. It's a big accomplishment.
It's a big event for sure.
Yeah,
lots of people... Have a good time.
Oh, yeah. It's like as you drive into Calgary, it's like you can tell how close you're getting by the amount of cowboy hats you see. Because it's like you drive in and you start to see a couple cowboy hats. It's like, okay. And then you keep driving, and before long, you're just in a sea of them.
It's sea of cowboy hats.
Yeah, and plaid.
And plaid, yep. Yeah.
It's the Canadian Texas.
So what's happening this summer? Sorry, I interrupted you. I do that.
Oh, there's so much going on. There's some stuff that I can't really talk about, unfortunately.
Doesn't that suck when that happens?
I know. It really does. Yeah, because it eats your soul.
It does.
But
because you're always reaching for the next thing to be like, I did this. I'm doing this. Guess what? I'm here. I'm going there. And like, all you want to do is scream it from the rooftop.
Absolutely. Indeed.
Until everyone's happy. Until everyone's like, okay.
Until everyone's
now you can
good
do
to
it.
Go. Yeah, yeah.
But it's just like that. It's business, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Business. The good old, well-oiled machine of the music business.
Yeah. So you guys are going to be playing a couple songs together tonight.
We are. He's going to stay up with me for my set.
Awesome.
I'm not going to waste his time staying up with him for his
set. I'll do
set.
It, Brad.
There we go.
He knows what he's doing more than I do. I'm just a singer, really. Wait, what did I say the other... Oh, to Paul. Let's call him the background singer for Shania. Yeah. I said to him, he's like, yeah, I'm going to send it to Asia in the morning, which is Shania's son. And I was like, I just shrieked out load. And I meant to say
I'm
loud.
Sorry, what?
And then he had
Start
fun with
this
that.
Whole thing over again here.
I said, I just shrieked out load, but I meant to say loud. And he's like, yeah, that might happen if you're getting a load out. And he's like laughing.
This was also 2 o'clock in the morning.
No, it wasn't.
Like in their time.
It was like 12. It was it was 5 o'clock his time.
5 o'clock in the morning.
3 o'clock my time. Two, maybe. Anyway, crazy the internet.
It was, what happened?
I said I'm a singer, not a speller.
So when you sent him that song, he came back with something right away, I think.
Right away, right. He put it on his computer. He did the whole chord progression. He did, came up with his, because I said to him, I'm like, okay, when we're talking about what we're going to do, he was like, I want to collaborate with you now. He's like, send me what you have now. Like, don't wait till you're, no, just send it now. I'm like, well, I only have one fully produced version of a song that I haven't released yet that I could do anything with because I don't have to release it for another long while. So I could send you that. It's called Cheap White Wine. And then he sent me this voice note and he goes, yeah, that song, it speaks to me because I love cheap white wine. And
who
I'm like,
doesn't?
We're deal. Let's do it. So send it to
like,
him.
So you guys are like two peas in a pod, eh?
Yeah, we're just like, all right, we're good. Sent it to him. He wrote his verse, and then he recorded it for me and sent it back to me. And I was just like, me and Attic were standing in the kitchen, and I'm like, oh, my God. It sounds like a Morgan Wallen song. Like, you know, you haven't heard it. Nobody's heard it. Me and Attic.
You will tonight?
No,
you won't.
They
just
won't.
Kidding.
Just no,
kidding.
It's not done yet at all. And I don't know just his kidding. Verse, but I just know that I love the words. And he, like as songwriters, as a songwriter, when you're writing with someone, even if you don't know them, you have to totally just be okay with being completely open and honest and wearing all your
that's
heart on your sleeve.
That's what's crazy about like some of these Nashville writings. Have you done a Nashville like writing session?
I have not yet, actually.
No, it's nuts because Breeze explained it to me, and you have to go in and like, you're so vulnerable.
Oh, yeah, it's
well,
terrifying,
you
really.
You literally have to be like, you just met this person. It's like, tell me your biggest, darkest secret.
Yeah, tell me what you're going through right now.
Yeah,
do you have a broken heart? Like, what are we writing?
And that's kind of what you focus on. It's crazy. It really like boggles my mind.
Yeah, and so in literally that half an hour that he listened to my song and my lyrics and wrote his and then put it down on the track, I knew right away what was going on in his family right now at the moment. Because he had to tell me. Like, he's like, this is what it's about and that's what... Because you really have to be on the same page with the song and the idea and what you want it to be about and really honest about how it affects you as a person because that's going to be how it affects everyone else as a person, you know? So just, that's songwriting. You have to be okay with just being like, guess what? My name is Bree, and I'm heartbroken over so-and-so. and let's write about it. This is what I want it to be called.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that I think if the writer feels it, then the audience will feel it as well.
Exactly. You want to keep it that authentic, you know?
Absolutely.
Because that's how music reaches in the best way, like, for sure.
Yeah, that's still crazy to me. You just met a person for, like, the first, like, 5 minutes. You're literally just busting everything out to them.
But, I mean, you get over it.
Well, yeah. Like, next, and you get used to it, too, I'm sure, right? Like, you guys get used to it, too, just kind of going into these rooms and these people with the, with the songwriter rooms and stuff. And
I remember I went into a room with a guy that wrote Austin by Blake Shelton.
Can you give us a snippet?
Yeah. What's the chorus? Do you remember that song? Oh, God.
There's a red car in the
like
video, if that
helps. It was like his big, famous hit before he became Blake Shelton. If this is Austin, I still love you. Right?
Oh, yeah.
If it's Saturday, I'm at the ball game first thing. Saturday, if it don't rain.
I just remember the hair.
I'm headed out to the mullet.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. I can picture it now.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I forgot. That's
now
right.
Mullets are back in.
Mullet. I had a mullet for during the pandemic. Did. It was terrible.
Yeah. Anyway, the song. I wanted to know all about the song. Like, is it true? Like, what's this thing? And he explained the whole thing. It was true. A song that he and his friend wrote. Basically about another songwriter friend of theirs who got into the lifestyle in Nashville of playing music every night, coming home from the bar late, and his wife just got tired of it, and she up and left. And, I mean, they created the, I don't think that the whole voice message thing was true, but they ended up, like, when they got together for the write, they were just, oh, yeah, how's so-and-so, you know, what do you... You heard about him. Oh, yeah, they broke up. She moved away. And they're like, well, we should write a song. And so they wrote the song. And then they said, and I'm like, so does he know that you, like, wrote a song about his life? And they're like, yeah, we told him. And we actually asked if he wanted, like, credit, like if he wanted songwriter credits. And he said, no. He said,
He probably wakes up in the morning and just, like, punches himself in the face and just be like,
and
I could have been a millionaire by now.
Shelton picked it up. Yeah.
Like, Shelton picked it up.
Yeah.
There was another famous writer that you wrote with.
I've written with Vincent D. He writes with the Rascal Flatts, and he's
any,
written.
Any
some
cool,
of them.
Like, song stories you can share?
One of the songs he wrote was basically about leaving home and leaving where you had been, like where you went off to live your dream, and going back home to where things made more sense. It's called Moving On. Oh, it was one of, it wasn't their huge song,
that,
but you know,
that's
Moving
the one,
On by the Rascal Flatts.
Okay.
Yes,
oh, okay.
Yes,
okay.
Jenny Lee. Yeah.
Awesome.
And then was there a specific one that you were thinking of?
No, who did you write Guts and God with?
Oh, with him.
Oh, that was with him.
That
okay.
was with
okay.
him. He wrote some songs for Tim McGraw and Rascal Flatts. And I went into the writing session and I said, and he's just like, so? Okay, girl, what you want to write? I can't do it.
It's that terrible Southern
okay,
accent.
Okay, girl. What are we writing today? And I'm like, well, usually I go into the writing sessions with like a title. I'm like, I want to write a song called Sugar Cane or Roller Coaster or just something, Roulette. And then we just kind of form it all from there. And we talk about, you know, the points I want to touch on. I want to write a song called Guts and God, and I'm going to tell you guys this little snippet that I don't think I've ever really told anyone.
This is exciting. Spill the beans.
Guts, the name Guts and God actually came from a Sex in the City episode.
What? How does that even happen?
Well, you know, Carrie, she's like a writer. She's the column writer, Sex in the City.
Everybody knows Carrie.
Totally.
Totally. He's got so much time to watch Sex and the City. And she was talking about some of the, I guess, a big church in New York City and how they're all very hoity-toity, and then it's all just, you know, guts and God. That's all.
Oh,
that
really?
That's what she
wow.
said.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah. Oh, that sounds like a cool country song.
That's pretty cool. That's awesome.
And I think I could, like, yeah, make it.
So that's how, really, eh? I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we all learned something today.
I was saving it for the show.
Yeah. There is so many more stories that Bree shares on her podcast, The Distillery. Stories like this. We have special guests on. We've had Bradley D. Scott on. We've had friends from Toronto on.
We had a psychic medium witch.
We had a psychic medium
around
witch.
Around Halloween.
And it's really because we own the show and we can do whatever the hell we want. So that's why we did it. And it was a lot of fun.
So check us out on, you know, anywhere you stream podcasts.
Yeah,
we're a 5-star rated podcast called The Distillery.
Yeah.
And Attic is my co-host.
Yeah.
He keeps me in line.
Yeah. Somebody has to.
Well, it's true.
And you can check out the Spotify link and everything right on the QR code.
Yes. And if you want to be a part of the exclusive community, join us on Patreon. Brad has his own Patreon as well. Let's make sure
Indeed.
We all check out Brad's Patreon.
I think is it Bradley D. Scott?
Bradley
I think
it is.
Yeah, it's Bradley D. Scott.
And I mean, sometimes I even post.
Wherever he is in his journey.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just a wonderful way to support.
Yeah. And you know
your
what?
Favorites.
It's honestly, it's so much fun for us to do. Like, it's realizing after having a son, you don't really get a lot of time together, right? Because you're so busy kind of trying to make this
Be a
other
parent,
human
being
happy.
A parent.
So it's cool for us to set
Cleaning
aside
diapers.
Some time every week to sit down and kind of reminisce a lot of this stuff because we've been doing this. I mean, you've been doing it your whole life. I've been doing it with you for the last 15 years. So it's been kind of cool to be able to sit down and reminisce a lot of these stories that you sometimes forget. And sometimes she forgets to tell me stuff that happened like 6 years ago. So it was cool to that
which
guts
is,
and God
what
thing
just happened.
Which just happened so.
Yeah, you never know.
But so we got a lot more to come. If you want to give us your socials just one more time, Brianne.
BrieLaurenson.com. You can get everything there. My EP, my electronic press kit is all there. The Patreon, the Cameo. I got invited to Cameo. What the heck? That was weird.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
It's awesome, though. And also, I got invited to StarKicks, which is a new app for verbal merchandise. So for your favorite creators, you get to book a phone call with them, like a FaceTime. And the call can be 5 minutes or whatever, and you know you get to take a selfie with them, have a nice convo, and then that's it. We're gonna be playing with some cool ways to use it for charity. We just gave all of my earnings on Patreon in December. We just gave it to the Children's Hospital CHEO here in Ottawa.
Yep.
And. You know
for
what?
Sure.
We matched it and we gave it. Thank you.
We ended up matching it and then we gave it in. And it's not, you know what? And it's everybody. Like it's a community that we're growing, right? It's
exactly.
a community.
Exactly. That's the point of the Patreon for sure.
You got any socials you want to plug, Brad?
You can find all my socials from my website as well, bradleydscott.com. Mostly because I'm trying to keep track of all of them and I know that they're at least all there.
There's so much crap to keep track of.
Well, there's
man.
Just
crazy.
So much platform.
It's crazy.
So many pages on the phone.
I know, it's
I
nuts.
I know, and then you ruin, and then you drain your battery by leaving them all open.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God.
So this is actually going to be uploaded onto Spotify probably the next couple weeks as well.
So check
once
it out.
Once you check out Spotify, our
give us a 5-star rating.
App, give us a 5-star, and you'll be able to hear this back, too. And that was an episode of The Distillery. So thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys.
For,
don't go away.
For coming out. And and I really, really hope you guys enjoyed this part of the show. Again, it's something different, something new, something fresh. And in a few minutes, we're going to clean up here, just kind of get some of this stuff out of the way. And then we're going to get Bradley D. Scott up here doing some tunes for you. So stay tuned.
Woo! You're in for a treat. Oh, yeah. Thank you guys. You can chat amongst yourselves now.